You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review. Joined again by Mark.
What's up, baby?
How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Mark is in the studio today. We're not doing a phone call.
And how are my levels?
Yeah, your levels. Shit. I barely understand any of this program. It looks the same. It looks like it's going to work today.
Sexy.
Yeah.
So that's the difference now.
We usually have Mark calling in, and then I combine everything.
Because we live in two different states. He lives in Santa Monica, and I live in the valley.
Miles away.
Miles away.
Hundreds of, we can't even come together for,
at all.
For 10 minutes to do this. But today, we are also joined by Jim Bean Vanilla.
Woo!
That is assisting the show. Not a sponsor.
Was on sale, though.
Unofficial. Oh, it was. It's pretty good. It's not bad, right?
Not bad. You buy six of them, it's even like another dollar off.
You really can kind of like get a bit foofy with certain drinks, and it's okay. You know what I mean? Like when people were adding vanilla to their coffee way back in the day, it was like, who's this fucking idiot? But nowadays, you barely question, no matter how ridiculous a man's coffee is, to a point. There's still a point where you're like, this coffee is
insane. I'm like, you get three requests.
Yeah.
Anything over that, I'm like... die
a little bit, right?
what is
one of the stupidest things that you could, when someone is like in between fat-free milk and like 2%
like
to make
calf,
I'm like, hold
soy,
on
no foam latte vanilla sweetener on the side.
Sweetener on
divorce attorney, please. Like, yeah, bitch, you'll need one.
Yeah, shot on the side of sweetener is unacceptable.
It's you know what, it's so funny because baristas look at me like I am a messiah, because I'll have some
coffee black. So,
yeah, basically black.
It's like my Earl Grey hot.
Yeah, pretty much. I'll be like, yeah, iced coffee, thanks, a little room.
Yeah.
And you know, and the chick before me with like holding her like, it's my service dog. It's like, that thing hasn't been trained to do shit, but she looks good in yoga pants, so like I forgive her. But then she has like an 800 year-long order.
Yeah.
And if you fuck, God help you, person making minimum wage plus $20 in tips a month, if you screw her order up, she will make your life a living hell.
Yeah.
And like then she, I come in, I'm like, coffee? And they're like, I love you.
Yeah. I'm like, you're more like you Patrick, too. What's his name? Stewart?
Patrick Stewart?
Yeah.
It's Picard, the nicest thing anyone's ever
fucking,
said to me.
Yeah, right? Compliment.
Tea. Oh, great. Hot. I have a mug that's like the next generation consoles, and it says tea or gray hot.
That's it. That's how you need to order. In and out, quick.
That's it. That's how I do it. Jean-Luc Picard style. Thank you.
But with some things, like what's the drink of the summer? These Trulies, the fucking
seltzers.
They are
already my enemy. I thought they were my friend.
You get groups of guys coming in a sports bar that only sells beer. And they are drinking those by the dozen, and they've got no concern. They're just like, oh, I love the mango one. I'm like, how has this become masculine? Like, you wouldn't
because
get four guys drinking Smirnoff Ice.
It probably is in Santa Monica. I think we have to understand that Santa Monica is a bit of a bubble. And what might be cool in Santa Monica isn't what they're drinking in Reseda.
Maybe, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know what they're drinking out there, but I've got a feeling
nails.
These... You're right. I've got a feeling these things are flying off the shelf.
They are.
All
we
over
we
the
sold
place.
Out the other night.
It's crazy.
We sold out.
Yeah. Like what? Just go.
Mainly because I had several of them on the house and regretted it.
Have
Terulia
a
the next day.
Really? But anyway, Jim Beam vanilla. We'll take it today. That's fine. We
Fuck
can
yeah.
have. You can have a bit of vanilla in your Jim Beam.
You can.
Today's review is covering some diverse and interesting guests. We've got Maynard James Keenan, Tool, good friend of Joe, who's been on plenty of time. That's podcast 1326.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mike Baker, 1327. Mike Baker, of course, CIA agent, also been on multiple times. I think both of these guys have known Joe for well over a decade.
Right.
Right, which is cool because, well, he knows the interesting people, but he also, I love to see the, like, relationships build. Like, they know what they're going to talk about. They fall straight into it. They've got their little way of communicating. Joe knows what questions he wants to get to, what information he can get out of him and what's not. Right. And then lastly, another MMA show, MMA 72, Andy Ruiz Jr.,
yeah,
which I was pumped to get him on. I wasn't sure if he was going to get on, but after Wilder went on, Tyson Fury, I knew that it was only a matter of time before the new Mexican heavyweight champ got on.
Exactly.
And what a nice fucking dude. Super nice. He's just like a chubby...
Train your fellow countrymen, sir.
Yeah, teddy bear.
2,000 of those coming at the border.
Yeah, and my God, I mean, I couldn't be a bigger fan, and he knocked the fuck out of our English champion.
Obliterated.
Yeah, absolutely destroyed him. So, yeah, without further ado, Maynard James Keenan, right?
Boom.
He has a new album coming out. He's releasing some new songs for Tool. That was released on this podcast. He talked about it. He said, hey, I'm going to let the fans know right now. He tweeted it out, which was cool.
That's really cool.
And obviously the podcast comes out a few days later.
Right.
So it gives him a little bit of a heads up, which was, a bit of a respectful move, I think, to his fans instead of them having to wait for his announcement on Rogan. I guess he's releasing his entire fucking music library on Spotify now. Yeah, was it not on there before? I thought everything was on Spotify. No,
there's some holdouts.
Oh, I didn't know that. I guess just everyone I look for seems to be on that.
There are some holdouts.
Though sometimes you do look for a song and it's not there. Yeah.
Well, it depends on who owns the license for it, which, because there's still people that don't. And I remember the big controversy in the day back when Spotify was kind of replacing Pandora because you create your own playlists. And Taylor Swift wasn't going to let her music on there. She was like, absolutely not. You have
because
to
because it's terrible.
Yes. And like her music, hate her music. But she was like, no, pay me.
Ah.
And I get it.
Yeah.
So I think there's some holdouts for that same reason.
So they don't pay him very much?
I don't know enough about it to speak intelligently on it, but that's the feeling I get.
Oh, okay.
I get the feeling that they're not compensated well or that it's... I mean, I don't know. Do they get paid for it to be on the radio? No, it's like its own promotion.
They do get paid to be on the radio.
Do they? Oh, yeah. And it's licensing because you got to pay licensing.
They have to pay, it's like 20 cents a thing, whatever.
Probably.
It is.
So it's kind of the same thing.
It all adds up and they have to do like the accounting for it.
Yeah. I worked for a radio station for a year in college.
Oh. I think that maybe when, what people get worked up about with Spotify is maybe they've just figured out a way to like completely undercut that number.
Could be.
Maybe it's like not even the radio level number.
Could be.
It's like 100 times less the amount that they pay you, yet the exposure is 10 times as much. So you decide what you want. Someone like Taylor Swift doesn't need more exposure. She wants to be paid.
She's pretty much
she's as big as she gets, so pay me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we're not going to pay you.
Well, it's kind of the same thing with Netflix, how they don't release their numbers. Nobody knows their numbers. So,
is that right?
Yeah.
What is it about that? For example, even with this podcast, iTunes doesn't release how many people subscribe. I can guess based on what we get daily downloads.
Based on the hate mail.
Yeah, right. I'm like, oh, we're getting popular.
Oh, we have 5 new hate subscribers.
Yeah. But they don't.
All my ex-girlfriends.
Yeah, right. They don't release that information. And I guess information is power, so you don't want to want to have this, but
power for you and for us.
Exactly.
For
so
them.
Why is it also power to keep that information secret?
Well, I mean, in the same way, think about, GM, they don't, if they stop telling you how many cars you built, the workers might go, boss, I made 20,000 doors last year. No. Well, how many did I make? We're not telling you. And they can't use that as a negotiating or bargaining chip.
That's a good point. Okay, so that's why.
Knowledge is power, and withholding knowledge is...
fucked up. They're assholes.
They're assholes.
They can suck it.
Who isn't?
Who isn't?
But
yeah.
Tool.
Tool.
Speaking of tools.
Well, Maynard is also a jiu-jitsu badass, which is, I'm sure, probably one of the big things that him and Joe kind of bonded over. Yeah. You know, he's older now, sure, though, so he's had some major injuries. He started doing Muay Thai, he was talking about, which is fucking cool. Like, to go out and do that at his age. He's probably not taking shots, though. He's not getting punched to the head. He kind of alluded that he stays away from heavy sparring. But
I kind of feel like you reach an age where you're like, I don't get punched in the head anymore. I don't. What is that, 52? I feel like 52 is like, I'm good.
Dude, I never wanted to get punched in the head.
No.
There's never an age where you're like, this feels okay.
No. It's like, really. And it happens, you're like, did I just get punched in the face?
But, oh, dude, you'll go home on a light sparring day and you'll have, your head is ringing.
Yeah.
That's a part of your body you don't want to hit around.
No, you protect that.
Even football. Did you play football ever?
No, my dad wouldn't let me.
Oh, good.
He was adamant. My dad would watch nuns versus priests in a football game. Like, he would watch any football game that was ever on. Ever. And it's like one of the reasons I don't really even enjoy football to this day. I know a lot about football. I know way more about football than someone that hates football should. but he wouldn't let me play because he knew how dangerous it was. He goes, nope, you're not going to do it. And then by the time it got to the age where I could decide for myself, I was like, I don't want to do this shit.
Right. Well, you hadn't been playing all the time, so didn't help either.
No, and I didn't care. I'm like... And I like be a fullback because I wouldn't have been interested in that. I would have been like, I score or I do nothing because narcissism.
You know, that's fascinating because as a fan, you know, you would think that you would fantasize that you want your kid to play.
No.
But
yeah,
it turns out that really...
Actually, I really appreciate it. It's the one thing he did right. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
He's not listening because he would never be able to figure out how iTunes works. But no, I actually really appreciate it because I'm glad that I wasn't subjected to that. I would have been fine. I was a fine athlete. I wasn't great. I was a good swimmer. But yeah, I swam and played baseball. And
that's smart of him to know. I mean,
it was. He was like, no, your bones aren't fully developed. I'm not. No, we're not doing that.
Yeah, and I don't think people that watch martial arts or MMA think in the same way, and they, you know, people that aren't big fans of, I mean, boxing you would, I think people have known that fucks you up for a long time, and there are plenty of dads that will be like, no, you know, I'm gonna be a boxer. But with being in the UFC, other than it's a long shot and it's a professional athletic pursuit like anything else, so it's very, very difficult, I don't think it's gonna lead to a lot of long-term major damage as compared to other sports where there's also impacts and injuries.
Right.
I think that you get more brain damage from soccer, from heading the ball over and over and over again.
Oh, I
and they're
believe
showing
it.
That.
It's not then, good. Things bouncing off your head is bad, whether they're balls or fists or bodies. You don't want to do it.
You don't want balls bouncing off your head.
No.
Never good.
Unless, you know, no judgment.
Right. Now, a big thing with Maynard, right, which I love, just anytime he comes on, is Joe always talks about how busy he is. He's so busy. He does like hundreds of different things. He's got companies left and right while doing writing, while doing this, while training jiu-jitsu, while blah, blah, blah. But he also has like these orchards where he does a lot of his own wine.
Mm.
That to me is like, it's obviously a passion pursuit.
Right.
But, you know, here's the thing. If you, let's say you became very, very successful in whatever your pursuit is, what you love, right? So now you're massively independently wealthy.
Right.
Do you diversify to, like, do you just fill your time with... To me,
know.
I'm like, that's just choring yourself up.
That's kind of how it feels. And I'm like, if I'm doing that many things, am I enjoying any of them to the fullest extent? It's kind of like... It really is kind of jack of all trades, master of none. In a way.
But
I would
he's mastering shit for sure.
And that's cool because he has a goddamn time.
Yeah, he's good, but I'm just also like, well, it doesn't it?
I don't know.
It seems like a perpetual chase for projects. It's
it
like
does.
To have things done and completed and over.
Right.
It's like, I wonder if he can really relax. That would be my guess.
Maybe relaxing to him is doing all of that. I mean, each of us gets off in our own way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be something like that because you can tell in Joe's voice that he's almost exhausted listening to how much
I'm exhausted listening.
Maynard gets done.
You just brought up like vineyards. I'm like, what?
Could just or the nuances of it, like whether he was talking about it, he's like whether it's too dry or whether there's a lot of foliage and then that dries out and then there'd be some big fires and then we'd be late to get our wine out. And I'm just like, dude, you run a massive band.
It's crazy.
And you're a writer for, I mean, you've got a lot to do.
He made,
like, how much, like, fucking a, wine money are you making?
Does he have a time machine where he can just, like, he freezes time and that's when he sleeps? He's like, I'm good for 24 hours.
I think that...
I don't know how these people do it.
Well, I think that Joe's fascinated by them.
Sure.
You know, anyone that he thinks...
This mania is
does
is.
Something that he can't do, he wants to know why. And sure. he also wants to pursue it in the way of, like, oh, is this making you more happy? Should I push myself to do this? Or are you exhausted and kind of stuck in your own trap of, like, infinite projects? And it's one of those goal-understanding endeavors that
I
he has.
I will say, as a creative type, as an artist, I will dabble in anything that sparks my imagination for a time. But, and this is the old adage in Hollywood, get something while it's hot, because creators, movie stars, directors lose interest really fast. You got to grab them and keep them. And I feel like I'm that way in a sense. Like, grab me and keep me, and I'll be really fascinated, and I'll devote every aspect of my being to this. But the minute I kind of get away from it, I'm like, I'm good. Like, this woman talked to me about writing a music project for, like, a music video, and I was interested, and I gave her my quote, and then I didn't hear from her until 2 days ago. I got an email. It's like, oh, so sorry, meant to send this, and I didn't hit send, yada, yada, yada. And I'm kind of like, I don't even care anymore.
Right.
I'm like, and she was like, and then she was lowballing me, and I wrote back, and I was like, oh, well, I'm only going to do it for this, and if you want to do it for somebody if you want to hire somebody for less, go right ahead. You get what you pay for. I literally was daring her to not hire me. And she called my bluff. She didn't hire me. But no, but I didn't care. I didn't care because it's like, oh, it's over. It's that kind of thing. It's like a just creative endeavor doing creative endeavor. And whatever is in front of him, he's like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. And then the next thing, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do.
Well, it's unlimited resources, right? So you can get into something. I think that I would just be changing my mind so quickly that I would be very careful about what I invested my time in.
Hell yeah.
Though I probably would have, like, a big grow operation somewhere. That would
would just be for personal
definitely,
use.
Definitely. I couldn't believe that Maynard said that he didn't smoke weed.
I can't believe it either.
That to me was, he says he just gets too paranoid. I'm like,
I get
right.
it. I've been there.
Yeah, I mean, we've been there.
He just needs to practice sativa and go to
right.
America.
Start with some CBD. Work your way in.
Yeah, dude.
Start with some CBD.
Get some CBD joints.
Joe's doing a ton of CBD at the moment. Good. Like, he's worked into just doing a shit ton of it. I recently have got into the hemp oil extract, which is your girlfriend got me onto that. Katie did, and she brought it in, and I remember when I ordered it, I was like, there's no, I know,
girlfriend.
Well done, well
That's
done.
How I met her.
So I was like, hey, why is this not CBD? So then I Googled it and looked at it. It's a very interesting, I will say, supplement to take, since it technically was never illegal.
No.
That one's always been fine. CBD is still a little, in some places, people have some issues with it. There was that one chick that got a grandma that was arrested near a border for like having CBD, which is insane. But hemp oil extract never has been, and you can do enough of it to feel
loopy.
Joe even talks about it. He goes, I didn't know that I had anxiety until I started doing CBD.
For real.
And then you feel like a level of relaxation.
Oh, man.
That
I would take CBD before I go to bed, and I would wake up like it was Christmas morning. I'd be comfy in my bed and just like, oh, this is wonderful. I'm just relaxed.
It's a beautiful high, yeah. I do wonder if it fucks with your rhythms of sleeping, though. Like gets in the way of your dreaming and that sort of thing, like the rested portion of it. But
I probably dream too much anyway. So.
Yeah, but it's got to be better than just staying awake through the night.
100%.
Those are the worst nights.
Ever.
Worst.
Especially when you have something to do in the morning. You're like, oh, I know I'm going to have a fucking horrible day tomorrow.
Yep. Joe describes it interestingly. He had a great quote on the podcast. It says, doing that, like, high levels of CBD or even, like, smoking weed like that. He goes, it makes you comfortable with your own demise. Like, once the anxiety is gone, it's like, yeah, we're going to die eventually. Sure. It's okay.
We better than being uncomfortable.
We get on with it, and we go from there. How much weed do you smoke a week, Mark?
Lately, like...
This is a legal question. This is from your lawyer.
We're in California. Twice a week max.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've just been so busy lately, I haven't really even had time.
A couple, okay, yeah.
Yeah, because I want to enjoy it. I don't want to just, like, smoke and go to bed. I want to sit there for 2 hours and watch Scrubs.
Yeah, and there's definitely a point of negative return when it gets in the way of you getting things done.
I watch it very carefully.
I smoke a lot of weed.
I only do it recreationally. I will not do it to... like to get through the day, to function or anything. I like being sober to do the things I need to do. I want a clarity. I want
nice.
You know, I want a clear head, and so I only do it recreationally. It'll be like 10. My girlfriend will get home. We'll take a hit each, and then we'll just watch some TV. And we'll just
like an evening. You know what's funny? I used to. That was 100% how I used to be for a long, long time. You know, decade and a half. Maybe. Sure. And now it's kind of reversed. Like I don't wake and bake because that's not. There's something about that grogginess in the morning that you gotta face. You gotta have a shower. You gotta get some breakfast. Get a coffee. Get going. But then I usually start.
Real great, huh?
I usually start with some edibles early on.
You do.
I'll do. You know what I'm like. I'll do that. I do. But I watch my productivity really closely. I monitor it almost every day, and. I do. I monitor it every day. Mm-hmm. I watch what I do. I go to jiu-jitsu. I'll go to the gym. I'll make sure I write. I'll meet with people. We get podcasts done. You know, obviously, you know, we're listening to Rogan's podcast throughout the day, too. So that, like, spreads out. And I try to pay as much attention to it as I can because we're going to talk about it. Well, and I have to remember points of it.
Well, and some people can function that way. I can't.
I think with practice, I've been able to do it better. Now... it's like, obviously, if I don't do any weed in the day, it's not addictive. I can do it. It's fine. Yeah. It's just more boring. I don't enjoy...
I'll be riding to the gym, and
I'll think of something funny. I'll just kind of either be laughing or just, like, really enjoying the moment. I'll think of, like, doing nice things for people.
Sure.
Or I'll see some people really aggravated, and I'll be like, it's cool. Like, I don't get as reactive to... frustrating events.
Sure.
Those things are all really nice. The downside is if you're doing it for those feelings but you can't get shit done, that's a big problem.
Yeah. No.
And if you're feeling a lot of anxiety, like Maynard was talking, you definitely don't want to do it.
No, it's not good for
people. Shouldn't be feeling, if you're feeling super anxious, it's good to be a little scared, right? I like to get a bit stoned and get a bit scared because it keeps me focused. I'm like, okay, what am I worried about? What am I thinking about?
I get paranoid. But if I'm at home, I'm usually pretty good. Unless I've somehow in some bout of idiocy combined it with alcohol. And then that goes horribly wrong. My birthday, I smoked after I'd had a couple of drinks. And my girlfriend, like, brought all these presents to me. And I was like, I had given her specific orders. Don't go crazy on my birthday because, like, she'd been out of work for a little while. Yeah, well, definitely not worth it. But I didn't want her to overspend, and then she came out with, like, 7 gifts.
Aww.
And I freaked the fuck out. I was like, no, no, and I was, like, having a full-on meltdown. And it turns out it was just, like, tea and hot chocolate, and it was all these. She wanted to get me a bunch of gifts, but she couldn't spend a lot, so she got me like a bunch of little tiny gifts, but they just come in big boxes and stuff. It was so sweet. And then I had a full-on fucking
meltdown.
So
the weed was having you freak out a bit over that? Yeah,
but I think it was a little the combination with the alcohol too.
Well, that'd do it. And again, I really just think it's like you actually get to practice. Like, I practice every day being high, which sounds ridiculous, but I've never actually tried to equate if I would get more things done in a productive manner if I wasn't. You know, there are plenty of days where I will almost forget. I'll be too busy. I won't take an edible. I'll go. But I get shit done.
A lot of times you'll come up and we'll be talking and I'll have no idea you're stoned. I'll be like, dude, I took full edible before I came here. I have no idea where I am. I'm like, I would assume you could fly a plane right now.
Yeah, there are moments. There are moments. And usually those moments where I say it because I'm saying it to myself.
True.
Almost.
Yeah, because we all have to acknowledge it.
There are moments where you have to really like get a hold of yourself. But I'm not driving anywhere.
No.
I'm not operating
heavy
machinery.
You're not a danger to anyone.
No.
Aside from the, you know, apart from the morons that we work with.
You can do everything just fine on it. Mm-hmm. It's actually, the only thing that makes it weird is that you'll let the paranoia get all like whatever the weird thought is take you over so much that you're barely able to hold a conversation. But it's only because you're getting in your own head.
Oh, yeah,
if
totally.
You get out of that and then you get focused
somebody asks
on
me
what's
a question
saying.
And I question and I panic.
Yeah, you go into yourself.
Like, oh, God, I don't know.
You're like, oh, no, is everyone
thinking
this?
Oh, they know I'm
this?
High. Oh, God, they're judging me.
Is everyone thinking this about me right now? Probably not. Relax.
Yep.
You know, they're probably not thinking about it at all. Oh, what did you think of this? At the end of their podcast, Maynard was talking about how on his winelands, they would bring in one of those guys, and he was calling them a water witching. Water witching? Where they have that little... They either have those, like, wires or the sticks. And they cross over the water. And he's like... Joe was like, that's bullshit, right? Obviously. Uh-huh. And then Maynard was like, I've seen it done 3 times. What? Like, is there really any fucking science behind this? Is there anything? Like, if that works, there must be something we can detect. Like, what the fuck would make that happen?
I have no idea. Like, I mean...
Let's guess.
Then yes.
Well, but let's just... let's say there's water running under the ground, right?
Right.
Deep. If water is... Is it still or is it moving? It's not going to be a river, is it? It would just be still. So could it have like a different type of charge? Like an electric charge? Well, because if it's moving, it could be making some sort of ground friction, right?
It's true.
And then that could change a charge that could maybe fold...
You're the biochemist. You would
Well, fuck. This is physics, for sure.
Right.
But that's a... I don't know why sticks would do anything. I don't really know what they use. But it sounded like bullshit.
Either.
Joe was not sold on this, and I am not either.
And Joe sometimes is sold on some shit that I'm like, really?
Well, he wants to believe that the aliens are there for sure.
We all want to believe that the aliens are there because if the aliens are there, they definitely have no like plans for domination because they would have done it already. How worse could we get? What are you waiting for to invade us? Like, have we not hit rock bottom yet?
Would you feel safer knowing that aliens exist? Let's say that they were like, they're straight up here.
Right.
And they're weird, they can't talk to us, or they do, but only a few of us, and they're like very stoic, and they're here. Would you feel like, oh, we're going to be fine?
I don't think I'd feel safer, but I don't feel like I would. I mean, it's a hypothetical that it's hard to really predict how you would feel in that situation.
I 100% would feel safer.
Would you?
Yeah, because now we have Space Daddy. Space Daddy
is
here
true.
To protect us. They're not just watching us kill ourselves. If you owned a zoo, you don't have your fucking animals in there die.
It's true. I'd probably be like, oh, finally, an adult in the room.
Right?
Please tell us how stupid we are.
Oh, we already know.
So, yeah, no, I'd feel better.
Yeah.
I would feel better.
I think so. And if they wanted to wipe us out, they would. You know
Absolutely.
They would.
Absolutely.
And
it would take 5 seconds.
All right, we're going to have Jim Beam Vanilla interview
Boom.
Real quick. And on that... That's actually a good transition.
Our third host.
Should we always have, like, transition points?
Yes.
Nah, too much work.
But
as transition points go, aliens, conspiracies.
Boom.
Mike Baker.
Yes.
CIA. I really like Mike Baker.
Me too.
Well, he just is the type of guy that, you know he's a CIA guy. He's a pro-American... kind of, I think he's Republican-y, though he doesn't really push
probably.
That end of it. But
he's
you know,
like old school.
Well, it's military, right? CIA is
it's
part of the military-ish.
It's a different kind of Republican.
Yeah, right. But he comes out and he
looks kind of like Alan Thicke.
Yeah, he gives a lot of what he can, and I think he really wants people to understand. The importance of the CIA, what they do, it gives some humanity to it. Because when you think of it, you just think like covert you know, Cloak and Dagger. Who the fuck are they? Sneaky right. bitches running around, getting up to whatever they want. Nobody's watching them. You know,
I think a lot of times,
where's the checks and balances?
They're more nerds gathering intel.
They gotta be nerds.
That's what they are. They're nerds gathering intel. By the way, CIA, if you're listening to this, I don't think you're actually nerds at all.
Well, but that's a compliment.
But they...
Nerds are smart.
I mean, they're smart people. They're...
And it's the intelligence agency.
Yeah.
If they didn't have nerds, we need to hire more nerds.
Yeah, it's not like CIA. Hollywood where... I just don't feel like they're really that... There's not really Jason Bournes in the CIA. There's a bunch of guys that have...
No, there is.
I mean, you think so?
No, they have special forces. They can do special force operations, for sure.
But I feel like Hollywood is certainly glamorized. I feel like, I feel like it's just a bunch of nerds developing assets, gathering intel, and, creating assets, things like that.
I bet the guys out in the field are badass 100% of the time.
Absolutely.
You know? Because they've got to keep that secret life.
You ever read the Clancy novels, the Tom Clancy novels?
No.
There's a character.
What's his deal? How did he know what he knew?
Okay, so that's the
was
big,
it legit?
That's always the big been the big question because he always said he wasn't, but a lot of people think he probably was.
Ah, okay.
But he had a lot in the same way they're like.
Well, you would hope so.
Yeah, because otherwise he certainly you're just making knew it up. Shit. I mean, because these were factually, technically accurate. He would spend chapters just explaining nuclear proliferation and Cold War strategy, things like that. But he had this character who named Mr. Clark, who will be played by Michael B. Jordan in an upcoming film. And he was like an ex-SEAL that the CIA... recruits, and this dude is a badass, and he's in this book called Without Remorse, which is my favorite book of all time.
That's a great title.
Oh, it's amazing.
You know that guy's about to fuck some shit up.
That's the movie they're making, and if they're anywhere close to the book, you're gonna love this thing. It's a lot like Man on Fire. You seen Man on Fire?
Love
Denzel
that. What
Washington?
Favorite movie?
Oh yeah.
Hey, interesting fact. You know the mother of that. Of the daughter.
Yeah.
Right? Who was like, go kill him.
Absolutely.
You know? She lives at the end of the street.
Get the fuck
out.
Yeah,
I've seen her a few times and I've chatted to her a bunch.
She is attractive.
God, she is my celebrity crush.
Oh, for real?
I should have talked about her on the stand-up the other night.
Oh, you should have.
Celebrity crush. Damn it.
You could have brought up Man on Fire.
She lives
on my street. So
imagine
Man on Fire if he had a separate... If, like, he was doing his normal mission.
Right.
But then he had a separate mission rescuing POWs and, like... Vietnam.
Ooh.
That's what Without Remorse is.
Oh.
And this dude is and it's basically because this guy had been in all these books. He started in he was in Cardinal of the Kremlin, which is the sequel to Hunt for Red October. They never made it into a movie, but it is the official sequel to Hunt for Red October, the book. And he makes his first appearance there, and he's just this mysterious black ops CIA agent, and you don't know much about him. And then Without Remorse is like his origin story, and you learn everything, and it is the coolest shit, and it is just catharsis in 600 pages.
Wow. I need to check that shit out.
Oh, it's a good... I'll loan it to you. I got like
you
three
have the,
copies.
Okay, good.
It's like my Catcher in the Rye. I buy every copy I ever see. I love it. But it's like... This is what I imagine these dudes would be like. They're ex-SEALs. They're ex-Green Beret. They're crafty, and they're recruited to kind of come be enforcers. And then you have the Poindexters, the suits that come in.
Sure.
They work with them, but these guys are the muscle.
Well, they're the number crunchers, you know? They're
yeah.
the ones in the room, like, compiling the data,
mm-hmm.
you know, sifting through SIM card call logs
yeah.
and correlating this person called that person, so this one might know this person, putting
right.
maps together, and it's like... That's unending, exhausting shit. But then you
Absolutely.
Give this knowledge to this badass,
mm-hmm.
and
like,
you're like, there's an 80% chance that the guy that we need dead is in this house. You now figure out how to get in there. Also,
yeah.
here's some cool toys. This is one of the really interesting things. Remember when Mike was talking about the cool technology that the CIA has?
Mm-hmm.
He can't talk about it, but he was He said, right. obviously we have it. Right. And he goes, the funny thing is, though, when we were working, is that they would be like, oh, we have this thing that can see through a wall, but it's too expensive for you to take out on this mission.
Right.
So you're taking this old shit that only actually listens to the sound in the room. So it was like, even for them, it's like they barely release it because they're so worried about probably losing that technology.
It would be very bad.
They got to be real tight on it. But that would be frustrating. You're like, I'm already CIA. Give me the shit. Imagine if like James Bond went to see Q and they're like, oh, hello, Bond. Well, we have this for you today. And you can take this and this thing will allow you to be invisible, time travel, walk through walls and be invincible. And he's like, sweet, I'll take that. Well, you can't have
it. We're not giving that to you. We're going to give you a yo-yo instead.
We have this watch that's waterproof to 14 fathoms. He's like, well, what? What is a fathom?
Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
But he gets the best shit. They should be giving it.
For real.
What do you think that they have? What do you think they can do? I'll tell you what they can do, right?
Tell me.
For sure. Well, he talks about the deep fake stuff. Mm-hmm. So now they're doing that fake face swapping. They have the
Mission Impossible shit?
Well, no, they have a video now of Rogan talking about sponsoring this new hockey team that's actually made up of chimpanzees. And it's like a very funny little monologue, but Joe never said any of it. It's all just put together from words that he said. And it's fucking perfect. So think about it. If people are getting phone calls,
right.
from other, the bad guys, they're like, Afghanistani, Taliban, whatever. And they're getting these phone calls all the time from other higher military leaders that are like, oh yeah, go blow this shit up, whatever.
Right.
So then, somehow, we can, like, intercept their call, and we put a fake call in, telling them to, like, come out and expose themselves, but this is, like, their new order.
Right.
Why the fuck would we not look into that technology? That's got to be more valuable than inventing new, like, bombs to drop.
I think you can do that with the WhatsApp.
Like, right.
You can clone phone numbers now.
Yeah, but I mean, but the voice
of
it.
No, it's true.
Like
an actual
back and forth conversation where it's like your mother calls you and you're like, Mom, are you serious? And she's like, yeah, I've been fucking all these dudes. And you're like, what, Mom? Are you out of your mind?
What is going on?
It's just your friend fucking with you with an app.
I want that.
It can't be long. It can't be like, if they can do all this. I mean, there's those things.
If they can do it on Star Trek, you can pretty much do it now, except for like beaming and warp drive.
We've turned everything else into it. Yeah, what would be the most useful? Beaming is transporting. No, it's not. Okay, I'm gonna stop you right there.
Oh, okay.
It's death.
Maybe
it is.
You don't know
how it works in that show. Is all they do is they use. You know how they make the food.
Right,
they synthesize it. It's a replicator. They take all the elements
and
they put it together.
Yeah.
So they take your pattern
and
then they replicate all the pieces. They just build you again. You died. They made a new one.
But somehow your consciousness
remains.
No,
you're dead. That's not true.
It's just
a perfect copy. Nobody's
thinking this shit.
I'm
fine with
it. Hold on.
You're getting
aggressive. You're getting Jim Beam level aggressive. I think that what it is it's an acceptable loss because no one comes out the other end and they're like, I don't feel like me. They all do everything that they were supposed to do.
It's true.
And it just highlights the absurdity of existence.
But they wouldn't do it again.
What do you mean?
If they come back and they're like, oh, I'm clearly not the dude that jumped in the transporter.
But they don't know. They are that. They feel the same. But that dude died. All woman.
But how do you know?
Because that's how it would work.
Sorry, I'm getting aggressive
again. It's a copy. It is, like, by definition. No?
I mean, it's fiction, so...
But that's the idea of how they would do it anyway.
You get into quantum mechanics and quantum entanglement, there's the idea that it could that it could be the same DNA in different points.
That's not true. That would only be if they used quantumly entangled particles, and that's not the idea of how these...
Listen, I watched half a Discovery...
We're talking like we understand how to do this. I'm like, you listen to me, Mark. It just seems like a food replicator would be awesome. That's great technology. Let's get that. We're 3D printing food. Genius. But if we had it's basically 3D printing your girlfriend. If there was a machine she steps in, she dissolves, and then we 3D print another one, I'd be a little suspect of what came out the other end.
I mean, it depends on
I'd be like,
how
you
much
were just
of a bitch
in that. You were just in that, like,
I love
juicy
you,
liquid.
Right.
And now we've printed you into a person. I don't trust it. I have strong feelings about this.
You know what? I don't think it's a concern we have to have.
Well, the CIA would need to think about that.
They're just beaming people into Syria.
Yeah. But I'm not the same guy.
I'm freaking not the same guy, but my mission is kill Assad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the face swapping technology is something Joe mm-hmm. is talking about quite a lot. So Carl Donegan, amazing Instagram, hilarious dude, the Reno 911 guy.
Yeah.
He does all the Caitlyn Jenner videos, obviously.
Right.
And now he's working with this new guy. I can't remember what Joe said, like Frankenstein or something. Like, anyway, he specializes in making, like, doing face swapping. And he doesn't use that face swap app. He uses like a different program.
Right.
But Carl Donegan has this one now, and Joe is playing it, and it's Elon, right? Yeah. And it's fucking amazing. It's really creepy. It's very funny, too. But it's very, very creepy how good that is.
The one of the first applications of face swap technology?
What it was for?
Porn.
Really?
Yeah.
What? How? Like celebrity faces?
Yeah, they'll put celebrity faces on like porn stars and be like, oh, watch Taylor Swift ride 8 black dongs.
No way, really?
For real. And it's pretty damn good.
Oh, this is on YouPorn?
I mean, I've heard.
How have I not?
I've heard.
You've heard, yeah, sure. But how have I not come across? It's not like I'm unfamiliar with this
website. I will
website.
Show you later.
I have the wrong search patterns.
Yes.
You know, this is actually, let me get back to something else that annoys me. You're surrounded by Alexa's, and then your phone can listen to you,
yeah.
And then the Google Home can listen to you. Yet you still get commercials that pop up that have absolutely nothing to do with anything that you want to buy. And this is the thing: when people were first saying, "Oh, they monitor all your shit all the time," and you don't want that because it's your privacy, right? But then it starts happening, and then people get annoyed. Well, listen. At least fucking get it right. There's mm-hmm. a lot of shit that I would buy. I promise you.
Oh, absolutely.
But don't show me a tampon commercial. And I'm not trying to be sexist because people need them and that's fine. I'm not going to buy many.
You have a light flow.
I have bought
you
them
can use a pen.
For my girlfriend. But I don't. Show me shit I want to buy. Even when I go on my Amazon app. With all their data, they're like, what do you think about this new mop? How many fucking mops have I ever bought?
Zero.
Yeah, you want to put that on there? You want to throw that through? This is bad intelligence. Is
maybe
what I'm
they're just hoping and praying that you
get into mops.
Want to clean?
There's some algorithm out there that's like this guy wants.
This
mops.
Guy has a 66 percent likelihood to clean in the next week.
It makes me think that. That God, I hope the CIA have better data collection information than this.
And I hope they're buying these mops.
Somebody needs them.
For all the terrorists they're torturing.
I think they think I'm somebody else.
They might. What if there's another Adam Thorne out there who's just like a cleaning guru? Ooh. A mop guru.
Imagine if I could like put a profile together based... Like, I literally feel like I know who he is and understand him completely just by the shopping... suggestions
steal
to get thrown
his
my
identity
way.
Yeah. Oh, Adam Thorne bought an Audi. Oh, which Adam Thorne? The cleaning one.
But then in the fucked up way, he's getting all of the suggestions that I actually want, mm-hmm. and he has this profile put together of like...
And he's just a badass like jiu-jitsu champion. He's like, I wanted it clean, and now I'm just a menace.
He's
I'm
just
a
like,
menace
I just
to society.
Got into jiu-jitsu, heavy. I bought all this podcasting equipment. I have like 12 kettlebells.
I'm
I don't even know what to do with them.
Stand up.
They're neither kettles or bells.
Or bells, discuss.
But I have them anyway. Oh, there was an odd part on the podcast with Mike, which I thought was quite interesting. He was talking about Brexit, right? We'll talk about that now. But it repeated. It's like they went in and edited the podcast, but they didn't do a very good job of it.
Yeah, they glitched.
And it like glitched this bit twice where he was talking about how the only useful people in Europe is like France and Germany. They're mm-hmm. like holding up the EU.
Pretty
and
much.
England can like somewhat separate from it. And then he was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But then they repeated it twice. And I'd never heard that. I'd never heard a glitch like that. I've heard some editing go on because they've had some times where the podcast like crashed. and then they had to restart it. But Joe doesn't edit shit, you know. It's 100% why we don't edit it. It's not just because I'm too lazy and can barely edit. It's because I think people just want to hear like that, the free flow. And if you say something fucked up, then tough, that's what you said.
Right.
But I found that quite interesting, especially because it's a CIA podcast. And you're like, is there a conspiracy theory in here somewhere?
Did the CIA glitch it?
Dude, I didn't even know that Boris Johnson was the Prime Minister of England till I watched John Oliver's what is his show called?
Last Week Tonight.
Tonight. Until really, I didn't watch that.
Oh my god.
That's the fucking Prime Minister of the country I was born in. I didn't even know.
He looks like a parody. Like he's part of some hoax. Like you wake up from like a nap and your friends are like, "Oh dude, you were asleep cryogenically for 30 years. This is our prime minister," and like they just found some fucking horrible Paul McCartney impersonator.
God, like, he looks like he's woke up from a nap.
He does.
See how fucked up his hair is all the time.
Oh my god,
ridiculous! That was a great John Oliver. Have you watched that one though?
I haven't watched John Oliver in a while.
Really? You're not into that show? Or?
It's not that I wasn't into it. It was just sometimes the news is too much for me, and I get overwhelmed. And he seems to
hit on...
That's
not the news.
Yeah, but
that's
he seems
like silly
to... news. I know, but he seems to hit on things that are really infuriating. And I'm like, I just need to know a little less. You know the whole phrase, if you're not pissed off, you're not paying attention. Well, I just want to pay attention a little less.
I
because
gotcha.
I'm just pissed off a lot.
But you're like a political guy.
I do. I'm big into politics. Well, really
at
am.
The end of the podcast when they were talking about... So I'm not going to talk about any of the Brexit shit because it's tiring and who cares?
Yeah.
English people do, but it's just back to the Americans who are mostly downloading this podcast. And hopefully it all works out with the Brexit shit. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I've got a feeling that England will be fine. They'll figure it out. Look, everyone wants to trade with them. Like, it's just a country. They're finding equilibrium here. But coming up to this new election, they start talking about.
Right.
And they're like, okay, so Trump's ready. He's going to do it. Now he's already president. So if you thought he was fucking arrogant before, holy shit.
There's
now,
nowhere
these debates
to go but down.
Are going
to
be epic, right? As open micers and comedians ourselves, we're not going to miss them because it's next level shit, right? It doesn't mean that it's good. It's just next level debating in the most fucked up way. Who the fuck is going to go up against? I'm not a political person, just like you said.
Right.
It's not that I'm ignorant with it. When I was younger, I paid a lot of attention to these things, and it was just another excuse for me to get mad and get stressed.
Right.
So I kind of cut it all out, and I outsource it to people that I believe in, that I like, good friends of mine, just like you, Mark. And I get like... You know, I have hunters in New Mexico that are good friends of mine. I have plenty of Republican friends that I care about a lot.
I do too.
I've known
a
lot
of my family. I'm from the
Southeast.
A lot
of liberals. So I get a lot of sides of it. And then to be honest, I end up not voting most of the time anyway. So what I actually know doesn't seem to matter.
Over half the people do. So
who the fuck is running against this guy? What are we up against? I like that bird, Tulsi Gabbard.
You like Tulsi?
I like her.
My mom likes her.
I liked her just from being on Rogan and how honest she seems. And she's like,
I will say this. We are at a point in
our politics. Maybe too young.
We are at a point in our politics. We are served a plate of bullshit. Not just on a daily basis, like on an hourly basis. So when one person comes along and says something that we don't feel like they're bullshitting us, our ears prick up because we're like, oh, maybe this is worth listening to. And to be perfectly honest, Trump did that. Now, the shit he said was crazy, but you kind of believe that he believed it.
And it's hilarious. Like, Let's not take it away from him just because we have strong opinions either way.
Right.
You cannot deny was funny.
When he came out and was like, Mexicans are rapists. Mexicans aren't rapists anymore. I mean, like, it's ridiculous.
Same amount of rapists as regular
rapists. Per capita,
they
have the same rapists as white people and any other. But I believe that he believed it.
I have zero doubt that he believed it. And then you would have Hillary Clinton who'd be like, I had oatmeal for breakfast. And I'm like, nah, this bitch lying. I don't know what you had for breakfast, but that shit wasn't oatmeal.
Yeah.
You full of shit. And I feel like at the end of the day, sometimes it really just comes down to a feeling that people have. And I just didn't believe Hillary ate oatmeal, but I definitely believe Trump believed Mexicans were rapists. I disagree with him. But there was it's, you know, it's not just what you say, but it's how you say it.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it.
So there's a truth to how. Because.
It's called resonance and connecting.
It always just felt like to me that the politicians were just saying what they thought we wanted to hear, right? It's like when you go to a party.
But they couldn't sell it.
And someone is telling you that. They're telling
you. But
you
know they're full of shit. Yeah, and you know when somebody's trying to sell you something versus someone that's genuine.
And it's
you
terrible.
Know it.
You don't want to hear it.
Awful. But I actually think on the Democratic side, there's a lot of candidates right now that really believe what they're saying and have a visceral connection to that. But it really comes down. It's going to come down to. Because politics ultimately is. Which candidate do you think will make your life better?
Right.
Or less worse?
Well, those fucking student loan wipeout things, that's going to get a lot of people excited. This time around, because there's still a lot of old baby boomers that don't have a lot of student debt that can vote. But I'm telling you, within the next, maybe not this election round, but the next couple, dude... Everyone, fucking loads of people have $50,000+ more.
Getting rid of debt.
I owe $75,000 and I don't use any part of my degree. It's so debilitating.
I will pay off my student loan this year.
Wow,
I will pay it off this year.
You bastard.
Yeah. Well, I had way less than you too.
But it's so painful to have it.
It's hard.
And when somebody says to me, "We'll get rid of it." I kind of don't give a fuck what else their policy is.
Well, and then you
because
look
to me, it's my biggest problem. I'm like, okay,
it's
true. Let's get rid of it.
Well, but that's a big thing.
That sounds
but
great.
It, because ultimately comes down to who makes your life better. Which candidate is offering a solution that's going to make your life better? Who's going to make it just a little easier?
Most of the time, it seems like shit was the same.
It's
remember
always the same.
When Trump got elected, I could hear out my window someone on the block over screaming. No!
Yeah.
No! He thought the world was going to end. A lot of people were like, you watch, everything's going to be a disaster. And I'm sure a lot of things have changed. But again, I don't pay a great deal of attention to it. My bills are pretty much the same.
Yeah. A lot of it's
identity. My taxes were a little weird. But mostly everything is happening the way it did.
A lot of it is identity.
I don't get paid less. It seems to be working.
True.
We're cracking along.
A lot of it's identity. It's how we view ourselves as Americans. It's how we view ourselves. It's how we present ourselves to the world. And we have a vested interest in how people see us and how we present ourselves to the rest of the world. And you have half the country who wants to present themselves in one way, and you have half the country that wants to present themselves in the other. And... that's your identity politics, but it really comes down to who makes you think that's going to be a little bit better.
Mm.
It really does. And in that regard, I think you're looking at a couple. I mean, you have one.
But
Joe Biden is the, hey.
No chance. He's not going to do it.
I don't think he's going to do it, but in terms of like, he as an alternative to Trump, he's just kind of like, he's a return to less drama in politics.
Yeah, which is not exciting enough to get anyone to vote for.
It's not. It's kind of like it's the idea of changing out your muffler on your car.
To the old one you had before because the new one kind of rattles a bit.
Exactly. It's nothing to get excited about. You're like, well, at least there won't be that noise. And then you have I really feel like Elizabeth Warren is your other big candidate.
Is she
right
the
now.
Native American he won?
Yes.
That was like, never. She's not going to win either. Trump will destroy that.
I think she could. But he already has. I don't think...
It's not going to work.
I don't see it because she has such a good economic message. So she's the one that's about student loan forgiveness.
Yeah. Still not going to work for her. I promise you. She's going to get eaten alive with that one.
I don't think so.
It's I good. Don't think it's so. I think it's resonates already, so look, bad.
This motherfucker.
Doesn't Trump call it Pocahontas?
Of course.
Like, it's fucking brilliant.
And I call him Brokahontas. Yeah. Because he doesn't have any fucking
well,
money.
That,
like he
that
says
doesn't
he does.
Stick either, so good
I
luck.
Would.
I'm telling you, this is a roast. And I don't, the most unroastable has the best chance.
I'll tell you, at the end of the day, it really comes down to who wins Wisconsin.
Really?
That's it. Because Democrats are going to take back Michigan and Pennsylvania. I mean, that's they're just going to do that.
I don't know any of that stuff.
It's electoral. It's crazy.
That seems ridiculous.
It comes down to Wisconsin. Who wins Wisconsin? That's it.
What the fuck is going on in Wisconsin?
They just have enough electoral votes that it puts the one candidate or the other over the edge.
Oh.
That's it.
Well.
And that's the big toss-up. Trump won by like 10,000 votes. And then Democrats in the midterms.
It does
took it back
seem
by
crazy
like a percentage.
That it gets so close. There's so many parameters, so many people, so many lines, all that gerrymandering or whatever they call
dumb.
It. And it's down to like just the. It's incredible that it works like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, politics. It's enough of that.
Love it.
I can't. I just. Every time that I get into it with somebody and I'm like, you know, around the time of elections, you want to learn a bit, right? That's when you
course,
want to get into it.
Of course, that's when most people do.
It puts
you're
me
not
off
expected,
just as fast.
You shouldn't be expected to think about it 24/7.
Too exhausting.
You have to have
people
your
do.
Fucking lives.
Yeah, people do. But they were the same. I mean, yeah. Mike Baker didn't know, really. Joe has his ideas. It's going to be interesting to see what comes up from it. With all his CIA intel, you would have thought he'd had... Hey, I think his money's on Trump, is what it sounds like to me. I
could
think
be.
He's just accepted that it's there, and that's
a lot
it.
Of people have. I hope they still go vote.
All right. So, we have Andy Ruiz. And this was a shorter podcast, only an hour. It's unusual for him to do one so short. So, we get through this quick, but I'm a big fan of Andy. Andy is the first heavyweight Mexican boxer. Super nice guy, super friendly, chubby dude. You know, he doesn't look like... he's more of a, I mean, he's bigger than even Tyson Fury, but he's a bit of a, he's almost like Big Country from the UFC.
Right.
Like, not a hillbilly, but like, you know, he's chubby. He doesn't look
Mexican
like
hillbilly.
A huge athlete. He looks like a...
he could pack a punch, baby.
Dude, he...
Smoke your ass.
So he fought recently against Anthony Joshua, and they talk about that. Extensively on the podcast, and if you follow Joe, you've seen the memes and things that he's put up. Anthony Joshua is a legend in England. He's an Adonis of a man, very tall, like 6'6", chiseled, good looking, built like fucking brick shit house,
right?
And just demolishes people. But wow, he got smashed. If you haven't seen the fight between these two, definitely watch that.
Watch the highlights.
Anyone out there, it's so good. Yeah, the highlights are excellent. Anthony Joshua gets knocked down a bunch. Andy actually gets hit down first, looks stunned. And when that happened, I thought he was done. I was like, wow, three rounds and Anthony Joshua's beat him already.
Right.
But when Ruiz stood up, just unloaded. I mean, Joe talks about it. He was like jumping up and down on his bed, excited. I was the same way. I couldn't believe it. Right. And I always try and watch fights, any fights, with maybe I have my favorite, but I generally don't. I just want to watch good fights.
Right.
But I always want the best fighter to win. Generally, the best fighter does win. Obviously, that's kind of like a, you know, a stupid thing to say.
Right,
but,
I mean...
But it's like I do want that. I never get upset that somebody lost. I love when somebody, you know, sometimes I want to see someone do more, or I wish it went a different way, but I don't care that anyone lost. You want really the best guy on that night to pull it together and just do damage, and he did incredible damage.
I would say that's one of the rare sports where you care more, at least for me, you care more about the experience than the victor, in a way. You just want to see a good fight, right?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel like tennis sometimes is that way. Like, I have no real loyalty, like Federer or Djokovic or Nadal or anything. I just want to see a really good goddamn match. You know what I mean?
You might do it for
I mean,
your country. Because if it's like an American wins Wimbledon, there's like nationalism.
And that's
fun. You don't get a ton of nationalism with like the UFC.
No.
You get a bit more with boxing.
And
you
that's
know?
True.
I think like Rocky IV
Yes.
Made that a thing.
The
you
greatest
know?
Movie of all time.
So good.
Thank you. You haven't seen Creed 2 yet, have you?
I haven't seen Creed 1, buddy.
You need to see Creed 1 and then you need to watch Creed 2.
I don't watch a lot of movies.
I know you
And
don't.
I don't know if the Creeds are going to work into my list of movies.
I think they will.
Nothing against those movies, okay? I'm just saying I'm building up a list of like some great classics that I want to catch up on. And I... Dude, I haven't
Creed
even
will
seen,
be a classic one.
I haven't seen the Endgame one with the Avengers.
It comes out on DVD in like a
week
or something.
But it's the same I won't watch it.
Have you seen the one that came before it?
Infinity some of War? It. I think it took me like 3 goes. Well, because you know how they give you 48 hours when you get a movie on...
Right.
Yeah, I watch it in parts.
I get it.
I'm either too busy or my ADHD just
I understand.
Will
you
fuck
are,
it up.
You are a man on the go.
A very strange dude is really what it is. But yeah. It's true. Okay, so the Creeds are there, but now Creed 2 was the same sort of thing, right? Didn't you tell me that? It was
it's Drago from
it's
Rocky
IV. It's like Rocky 4.2.
It's Rocky 4.2.
Yeah, we're Rocky 4.
It's Rocky 4. It's Rocky 8.
Imagine
Wait,
if
it is
that.
Rocky 8, isn't it? Yeah, no, it's Rocky 7.
They went back to other movies, like Terminator 2, but this is an off-branching of that.
It's like
Terminator
if the Terminator 2.1. Had a baby
and
wanted to fight John Connor. Kind of, no.
And then they throw Jean-Claude Van Damme in just because.
If only.
Why not?
My orgasm would be complete. My 80s orgasm.
Oh, here's a thing, right? Talking about those kinds of movies.
Yeah.
So we've got this... The face switching shit that
Dude,
we were just talking about,
I
the
know.
Deep fakes. Do you think that they will? I was watching some Bruce Lee videos earlier.
Yeah.
And I was like, when are they just going to be able to make a new Bruce Lee movie?
You know, that's an interesting thing because a lot of the time the face stuff they've been doing recently is they've just been making actors look younger. But I think we're very. Well, they did it in like the Star Wars, Rogue One. They did the one guy that it was a different actor and they made him look like. Peter Cushing from the 77 Star Wars, their first Star Wars film.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty good. It's not
No,
perfect.
But I'm saying when it gets really good, will we accept a Bruce Lee movie coming back?
It has to be
because,
perfect.
Well, but think
it
about it.
It can't be because we know the human face better than anything.
Yeah, but
it
let's say perfect. Let's just say it's perfect. Let's say they get it down, the voice is perfect, everything looks great, and it's a good movie.
I don't think so. I don't think
it's going to be weird because then who the
dead.
Fuck do they pay?
It's true. He's dead. I don't think we'll accept it because it's kind of like, it's not really him.
Yeah.
But I'll accept 60-year-old Will Smith playing 24-year-old Will Smith type thing.
That's cool.
Like, I would give anything. One of my favorite movies is the movie Midnight Run with Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin. And there were sequels. They were like made for TV sequels. De Niro was not in them, and I think it's one of De Niro's greatest roles. He's amazing in it. He's so funny. And I'd love to see a sequel to that movie, but I don't want a sequel now. I don't want to see Jack Walsh in 2019. I could give a fuck. I'd like to see Jack Walsh in like 88, because the original movie came out in like 86 or something like that. They can kind of do that now.
Wow.
That I would be down for.
What would be... okay, imagine this, right?
Yeah.
All the Ghostbusters guys, super fucking old. And I've heard they're making a remake with of the guys
that
left anyway.
It's like a Ghostbusters 3. Yeah.
Yeah. But let's say that they were able to, right after Ghostbusters 2...
Right.
Like, make it all still look like that same time period, but it's now Ghostbusters 3. Same guys. They were about the same age. It all works. Why would we not be into that?
I think we would be into that.
You know, like bringing Arnold back. Make the original Predator, but we make like the Predator 2 version of the original. Arnold's still jacked.
He's still jacked.
Somehow
he's, still
young. He's getting to the chopper at the same rate that he needed to get there before. I think people are going to be on board.
I think there's a really good... Well, the first time you really saw the good technology, the de-aging technology,